بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Brothers and sisters, welcome all of you in our gathering here, our third session of our third day in this blessed seminar, inshallah. We're still talking about divorce, its rules and the effects and its types. And there are different types of divorce. In terms of its Islamic status, it could be Sunni or Bid'ah. It can be innovated or it can be upon the Sunnah. And there is an amazing, a miracle of Islamic legislation here. What is the Islamic Sunni divorce? That you divorce her in a state of purity that you did not sexually touch her in. And then she stays in the home, in the marital home, for 3 menstrual cycles. And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in the Quran. And it's a level of fiqh that many of the Muslims don't have, or the majority of the Muslims don't understand this. And if people use this in their lives, many families would have been saved from destruction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started Surah At-Talaq with this. So Allah said, O Prophet, talking with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then talking to the entire ummah, saying, if you divorce women, then divorce them towards their iddah. Divorce them starting with their waiting periods. O you who want to divorce, there are certain rules and laws for divorce. Just as you married on the basis of religion, you have to also divorce on the basis of religion. When you divorce women, divorce them according to their waiting periods. Divorce them as their waiting periods are going to begin. How do you do this? If a woman is in a state of purity, right, and you did not touch her sexually in that period of time, you can divorce her in that time period. But if you divorce her and she's menstruating, this is against the sunnah. If you divorce her in a state of purity where you sexually touched her in, this is also against the sunnah. And it's amazing here that you will see, when you contemplate this, you will see the hand of Allah working. You will see His mercy, Azza wa Jal. How He treats His servants, Azza wa Jal. When the man wants to divorce his wife, he is angry. So we want him to calm down. We tell him, okay, relax. You can divorce, but divorce, there are certain rules. You cannot divorce her except in a state of purity that you did not sexually touch her in. And normally, either the woman is menstruating or she will be in a state of purity where he sexually touched her in. So, and since the husband, when the husband and wife are together, it means that typically they have sexual contact together. And so generally speaking, most of the time, the woman in any given moment, either she's in a state of menstruation or in a state of purity where he sexually touched her in that period, had intercourse in that period of time. So he has to wait now until she menstruates and then becomes pure. And then by that time, things are calmer now, and the anger is gone, and the man is back to normal. And as Allah says in the Quran, whoever fears Allah, Allah will give that person an outlet. Whoever divorces, and according to the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will give that person a way out, inshaAllah. And also, the divorce should happen only once. You don't say you are divorced times 3. You are divorced 3 times. Allah in the Quran says, divorce is 2 times. Means once after another. But for you to gather all of this in one phrase, you are divorced, you are divorced, you are divorced, this is against the Sharia. Sharia wants you to relax. Sharia wants you not to burn all of your cards at once. As in the hadith, it says, whoever says subhanAllah bihamdi 100 times, Allah will forgive all of their sins, even if it's like the ocean. What about if a person says, Subhanallah bihamdi 100 times, and a person says that, Did he say it 100 times? Or did he only say it once? He only said it once. So whoever says, you are divorced 3 times, it doesn't count as 3 times. It doesn't count as 3 times. And because of this, in the time of the prophethood, in the time of Abu Bakr, and part of the time of Umar, if a person said you were divorced 3 times at once, it would count as only once. And the majority of the civil code and the civil laws in the Muslim lands, they would consider also, if a person says you were divorced 3 times at once, then it would only count as one. So, and subhanAllah, I gave this seminar in Maryland, and he was an attorney. And I said that I wish people were, in the Americans were able to understand this, how the Sharia set the laws for divorce to push that people have towards divorce. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, and fear Allah your Lord, do not kick them out of their homes, and they should not leave their homes. And the default is that if the woman leaves her home, she does so and she's angry. And she may have done this, and subhanAllah, it makes things a problem. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fear Allah your Lord, and do not kick them out of their homes, and they should not leave unless they do clear evil. And these are the hudud of Allah, these are the boundaries of Allah, and whoever transgresses the boundaries of Allah, then they have done a big wrong. So you have to divorce once in a state of purity that you did not touch her in, keep her in the home, and she should remain with you throughout the time of Iddah. And the Sharia opened the doors completely for Raj'ah. And Raj'ah, taking her back, can either be by statements, or it could even be by actions. If you do acts of foreplay with the intention of taking her back, then this counts. They say that if the woman comes in the time of Iddah and she kisses her husband and he did not push her away and he accepts this, then this counts as a raja, as taking her back. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you don't know, Allah may do something after that, may make something new after that. So people need to learn this. And once again, and tell the people, just as we have married based on principles and laws, when we divorce, it has to be based on the laws and the rules. When we married, we said that we're marrying on the book and the sunnah. Likewise, the Quran and the sunnah is the reference that will judge this relationship both when it's in a good state and when it's in a bad state. So, when it's positive and when it's negative. So you don't know, maybe Allah will do something after that. And what is the ruling on the innovative divorce? Divorcing a woman if she's in a state of menstruating is haram. Or in a state of purity that you touched her in sexually is haram. The entire ummah agrees that this is haram. There is some different opinion about whether it counts or not, but everyone agrees that it is haram. And the Sharia is merciful and takes into account the weakness of the woman. And so it does not allow you to divorce her in that period of time when she has certain biological changes and chemical changes that may affect the way she acts and the way she, you know, speaks. And so the Sharia was merciful with her weakness in that period of time and did not allow you to divorce her during that period of time. And then after that, the question comes, does this divorce count or not? That's the issue. Is it valid or not? And the answer here is that this is an issue of difference of opinion amongst the scholars. The majority of the scholars say that this innovated form of divorce does count. And the person is committing a sin and he's responsible for that in front of Allah, but the divorce counts. But many of the scholars differed with this opinion, both in the past and in the current days. And the majority of the scholars of Saudi Arabia, they say that no, it doesn't count. And from their proofs, those who say that it does count, They say the statement of the Prophet sallallahu, you know, about the man who divorced his wife in a state of menstruation. Command, you know, the Prophet command Umar to tell his son, command him to take her back, raja. And so this implies that it's counted as a divorce, because you take your wife back after divorce. But those who say, no, it doesn't count, they say that there are some narrations of this hadith, and there are some narrations of this hadith, and Imam Shawkani narrated this, and this extra part of the hadith, nobody said that it's weak. And the extra part of the hadith says that he gave her back to me, and he did not count it as anything. So, and this is narrated by Al-Bayhaqi. And then also, the scholars, they say that it doesn't count. They quote the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, whoever innovates something in this religion of ours, it doesn't count and it'll be rejected. And so, this divorce is an innovation. And so it doesn't count. Ibn Taymiyyah said that when the Prophet ﷺ commanded Umar to take her back and then wait until she is purified, and then she menstruates and purified and menstruates and purified and menstruates. And Ibn Taymiyyah said that if this counted as a divorce, then basically this hadith would imply that there is an extension of the waiting period for the woman and it's harming her extra. And so his opinion was that no, it doesn't count. And what these scholars, their perspective when the Prophet ﷺ said, command him to take her back, they said that this is linguistically take her back, not talking about the raja that's done after divorce. So once again, this issue has difference of opinion amongst the scholars. And, you know, it's an issue of a lot of scholarly debate. And what we chose in this book, that the innovated divorce does not count. And the majority of the fiqh councils in the Muslim world, they take this opinion, and this is the opinion of Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn al-Qayyim and Shawkani and Ibn Hazm and the scholars of Saudi Arabia today, and they saw this a better opinion to save a lot of homes from being destroyed, and possibly it is, inshallah, better for the ummah and has a closer, you know, proofs, inshallah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Now, if the divorce happens according to the sunnah, of course it would count against the number of divorces that a person has. And after that, you know, the husband has the right to take their wives back. As Allah in the Quran says that their husbands have the right to take them back if they want to make peace. But at the same time, the relationship remains. There is still husband and wife. The woman does not have to wear hijab from her husband. And if he touches her, then it's considered that he's taking her back. And she is still halal for him. So this is the divorce based on separating it between Sunni and Bidari. Now there's another way you can talk about divorce. The revocable and irrevocable divorce. Raj'i or revocable divorce and ba'in or irrevocable. What's a raj'i divorce? It's the first and the second divorce, as long as it's not ala iwad, or basically khula, as long as it's not based on where the woman is giving compensation for this divorce. And this is considered to be revocable. The woman would have to wait for the waiting period, and the man remains her husband during that period of time. So if he divorces her once, he still has to pay for her, he has to take care of her financially, she doesn't wear hijab from him, and she still stays in his home, in the marital home. And if he decides to take her back, as we mentioned, then they once again will become a regular husband and wife. And the husband always has the right to take her back as long as he wants to. As long as he wants to make peace. As long as he wants to make peace in that relationship. It's not allowed for him at all to take her back in order to make it difficult upon the woman and elongate the waiting period. This is what they used to do in Jahiliyyah. So, And in Jahiliyyah, a person could divorce his wife as many times as he wanted. And if he wanted to harm his wife, what he would do, he would divorce her. And then he would wait for the iddah. And on the last moment before the iddah is over, he would take her back. And then he would divorce her again, immediately. And then she would have to wait for another iddah. And then before the iddah was over, he would take her back and then divorce her again. And he would keep doing this. And she would be waiting and waiting and waiting forever. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, took away this punishment and took away this oppression from the lives of the women. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed men to take the women back. Allah says in the Quran that their husbands have the right to take them back if they want islah, if they want good for them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded that it's haram to leave the woman like a person who is hanging, neither married nor divorced. And this is what was done in times of Jahiliyyah. Okay, now this irrevocable divorce, and when we say it's irrevocable, it means that the divorce ends the relationship and he can't come back, he can't do raj'ah. And this irrevocable, there is major irrevocable divorce and minor irrevocable divorce. So, and there are certain types. And before we say this, we want to explain what's Bainuna Sughra, or minor or major irrevocable divorce. It's where the husband is not able to marry the woman or bring the woman back unless he does a new marriage contract and a new dowry. One of the examples of this, this is Bainuna Sughra. This is minor irrevocable divorce. So, for example, if a person divorces his wife before touching her, before consummating the marriage, and before being in a state of perfect privacy, as we mentioned before, there is no iddah, and there is no waiting period, and in this case, he can't take her back. There's no raja'. If he wants to marry her again, he has to court her just like anyone else, and engage her, and marry her with a new marriage contract and a new dowry. Also, another example of Bainuna Sughra, of minor irrevocable divorce, is Khula. Because, of course, it doesn't make sense that a woman will give the man back whatever dowry that he gave and let go of all of her financial rights, and then she get divorced from him, and then he can decide to take her back. So she lost her money and she is once again in the prison of that marriage. So of course this wouldn't make sense. So if the marriage is based on a compensation that the woman gives to the man, in the case of khula, the man cannot take back his wife except with a new dowry and a new contract, and he would be just like any other person who was courting her and engaging her, just like everyone else. If the woman gets a judicial divorce, she takes the issue to the judge and says, my husband has leprosy, he has certain, you know, sexual malfunction, he is impotent, or he is crazy, and she asks for a divorce, or because he is harming her, he's hitting her, he's cursing her. And if the judge grants her a divorce, this divorce is considered a minor irrevocable divorce. The husband cannot take her back after that unilaterally. He needs to once again make a new contract and give her a new dowry, and he's considered to be a suitor, a courter, and courting her just like anyone else. Just like anyone else. Of course, there's still iddah, there's still a waiting period in these situations, but we're talking about that in these forms of divorce, this form of the minor irrevocable divorce, the husband cannot unilaterally decide to take her back. What is the major irrevocable divorce? That is the divorce that happens three times. After the third divorce, Allah in the Quran says that he cannot marry her again until she marries someone else. And we mentioned before that if a person divorces his wife three times with one statement, then it only counts as one. The person says, you are divorced three times, this divorce is considered to be only one. What about if he says, you are divorced, you are divorced, you are divorced. If he didn't say you are divorced three times or times three, but he actually repeated the phrase three times, you are divorced, you are divorced, you are divorced, what happens then? In that situation, we have to ask him, what is his intention? Did he mean that he was just stressing the divorce, or did he mean that he wanted to actually divorce her three times? Did he actually want to initiate three divorces, or was he just trying to, you know, stress the fact that he's divorcing her? They say that if his intention was to stress it, then it's only counted as one. If his intention was to initiate three divorces, then it counts as three divorces. There could be two types of divorce, either immediate or deferred. Person can say, or conditional. You are divorced now, or someone can say, you are divorced once Ramadan happens. You are divorced once I get the green card. Where he attaches it to a certain condition, conditional divorce. And of course in this situation, once the condition is fulfilled, then the divorce would be active. Another type of divorce, if a person says, once again, a conditional divorce. Another example, if a person says, if you use this credit card, that my credit card, you are divorced. If you leave the house, then you are divorced. So if he attaches the divorce to, makes it conditional upon a certain action. If he does that, will the divorce count or not? The majority of the scholars, the past scholars, and today, they said that the divorce will count once the condition is fulfilled. But there are certain scholars who differed. Ibn Taymiyyah, rahmahullah, in the past, and some of the scholars, a few of them, of scholars of Saudi Arabia today, they say that if his intention was that he really was trying to divorce her, if this situation happens, then it counts. But if his intention was similar to a person who making an oath, then this will take the ruling of an oath. And he can break that with expiation of an oath. So for example, if a person tells his wife, if Ramadan comes, you are divorced. So it's clear that this person, he wants divorce. Because it's issue of time. So it's clear he wants a divorce. But if he says, if you leave the house, you're divorced. This man seems that he really, what he wants to do is he wants to prevent her from going out of the house. That's his intention. He wants to prevent her from leaving the house. This is his first and foremost intention here, based on what he's saying. And therefore, what the scholars say is that this type of conditional divorce, you can treat it as an oath and not as a divorce. And as I said, this is the minor opinion. Few of the scholars of the past said this, and a few of the scholars of today say it, but the majority say that it does count once a conditional action happens. Now, you know, issues of divorce are not discussed, you know, and decided based on these types of seminars. If something happens to you or happens to someone, it doesn't make it give himself a fatwa based on the fact that he attended a class on family law. But he should go to the mufti, a scholar, and ask and discuss back and forth. So this scholar can understand the situation, all of the details of the situation. Because every situation has certain, you know, particular things in it. You know, a person is sick and doctor will give him a certain prescription. And then he goes around in the street and says, oh, if you're sick here, this doctor gave me this prescription, go ahead, you can take it too. No, this doctor, you know, examined him and understood his situation and understood everything and gave him a certain prescription. And yes, it's possible that the symptoms may, other sicknesses may have similar symptoms, but they're not the same sickness. So this medicine is not necessarily suitable for all situations. So every situation is particular. So I give the advice again and again in issues of divorce, no one should give himself his own fatwa based on the lecture that he attended. And also one should not ask about it in classes like this. If a person has a particular issue, he should go to the Shaykh and not just send a question, but go back and forth with the Shaykh, and the Shaykh takes some time with him to get all the details and understand things properly. Right now we're just giving general rules and general principles, the foundations. And in terms of implementing these on certain situations, certain circumstances, needs a high level of fiqh, because it's one thing to understand the rules of fiqh, and it's another thing to implement those upon certain situations. And because of that, brothers and sisters, beloved brothers and sisters, you can't just take from what we're saying, this general speech that we're giving, a license for yourself to give yourself a fatwa on a certain situation that happens to you. This is something that you will not, you know, be freed upon. There's responsibility in the front of Allah. You have to take it to a mufti, take it to a sheikh, give him the details, and then he will give you an answer based on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has inspired him with. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us and guide us to the straight path. And jazakum al khair. Thank you all of you for your attendance. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.